Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 36, titled, An Evil Generation. Send any correspondence to us by email at BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can mail us along with any check or money order contributions that you would like to send to support our ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com using the PayPal donation button, where you will also find thousands of half-hour Bible studies, charts, blog posts, and other links. And now we begin our study in Luke chapter 11, verses 29 through 36, titled, An Evil Generation. We begin with a current events update, and then the study, part 1 of 2.
Because God's people should not be stupid. Amen. Amen. Regarding the experimental gene therapy shot being called a vaccine, billions for pharma, that's what this is all about. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
This is from The Guardian. The headline says, from Pfizer to Moderna, who's making billions from COVID-19 vaccines? The company's in line for the biggest gains, and the shareholders who have already made fortunes. Pfizer and BioNTech is an mRNA vaccine, which means they're injecting DNA level instructions into your body in order to make your body do things God did not intend for it to do. We talked about it in our last week's current events update. It involves folding proteins, which could potentially give you brain diseases like ALS and Alzheimer's. And people are lining up like guinea pigs to take this shot that has not been tested by the government. You are completely involved in experimental gene therapy. That's the bottom line. But what they're about is making billions. And Pfizer and BioNTech expected to make $15 to $30 billion on this shot.
Wow.
The stock price, the share price, has already gone up 1.8% for Pfizer, but more if you had BioNTech, it's gone up 156%. And if you think that's on accident, I'm sorry, but you're clueless. This stuff is all by design. They knew this going into it. You can go back and listen to them over the last 10 years. Fauci, Gates, and all these people have been telling you this is going to happen. It's all on video. Moderna, also an mRNA vaccine. They're going to make $18 to $20 billion in addition to what Pfizer makes. Their share price has gone up 372%. Johnson & Johnson, who's even had issues, problems with theirs on the news and everything, they expect to make up to $10 billion. Theirs is a different type of shot, which is why you only have to get one, adenovirus vaccine. We don't have time to get into all the differences. But their share price has gone up 7.7% over the past year. Now, that is an amazing return. When you're talking hundreds, you're talking unreal returns. And then the last one we'll look at is AstraZeneca, another adenovirus vector vaccine. They'll make between $2 and $3 billion. Don't you feel bad for them?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Their share price actually went down because they weren't into the tens of billions.
That's when people are dropping dead from that one.
Yeah, the bottom line is the human population is the cash cow.
Wow.
That, and folks, even if any of these shots work the way they're supposed to, they're not supposed to keep you from getting COVID. They're not even designed to do that. They are designed to make your body function in a way that God did not tell your body to function. It's to cause you to do things on that DNA, RNA level that produces folded proteins and then so forth. And therein lies the danger. But they don't care. You know, before they acted like they couldn't put medicines out unless they put them through years of trials and tests. And all that. They don't care anymore. The human population, in preparation for the Antichrist, has become nothing but a big herd. And they'll do whatever they want to make money. Someone might say, well, there has to be a profit incentive. Okay, even during a time of pandemic, you have to have $63 billion in profit? I mean, listen, they're gouging you to do this, by the way. The government's paying for it, and a lot of public school kids especially, and I'm one of them. I never realized until I was in my 20s that when the government spends money, it's our money. Yep. It's not government money, it's your money. Amen. So they're using you as a guinea pig and getting the money from you to do what they're doing. And it's supposed to be this huge pandemic where everybody's supposed to be a humanitarian and stop thinking about yourself. Put on double masks, social distance, stop being so self-centered. Oh, and by the way, we're going to make $1 billion off of every one of you. See, they don't practice what they preach. If they really cared about you, the profit margins would be minimal. They don't care. So the beast system is in place. I really believe nothing else has to happen before the mark of the beast is able to be implemented. As far as the technical side of it. Now, what has to happen on the spiritual side is it's got to be God's timing.
Yeah.
But as far as getting the system in place, I believe we're there. Yeah. All is needed is the rapture.
Amen.
The rapture happens and it becomes about Israel again, the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, and it becomes about Israel, and Israel will sign that make an agreement to the Mosaic covenant. And that'll then institute the final week of the 70 weeks of Daniel. That's why everywhere else in the Bible, it's a 7-year tribulation. And then Israel, at midway through that tribulation, will be attacked by the Antichrist. 2/3 of them will be killed. 1/3 of them will go into the wilderness, we believe into Petra. And there they will remain for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, half of the tribulation period. And then at the end of that, Jesus Christ will return on a white horse with the church of Jesus Christ behind him on white horses. And when he returns, he will kill them all.
Amen.
That's why we're not picking up guns and shooting people right now.
Amen.
God said this is his business. And in his timing, he'll take care of it. But I'll just say this on the record. That doesn't mean if they come after you in your home or come after you and your family that you shouldn't defend yourself. We'll talk about that more another time. We've talked about it a number of times. In the meantime, as the whole system's being set up for the Antichrist, so is, I'm not going to say the church, because most of what is called Christianity today is not the church. The church is made up of born-again believers who have been baptized into the one body by the Holy Spirit. You have to be a true believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you're not in any legitimate church as far as the Bible is concerned. But there are churches that are a part of Christianity and not a part of God's church. And that Christianity, it's either apostasy or persecution. That's where you are today. It's either apostasy or persecution. If this local church that you are in right now, among, not the building, I'm talking about the people, if this group of people does not go with the apostasy, then we will face persecution. That's just a fact. Here's just the headlines. Church, should put it in quotes, celebrates Drag Queen Sunday. Now, I'm not being mean to you right now, but if that shocks you, you ain't really been clued in. If that shocks you, you need to understand, you need to open your eyes. This has been going on all over the country for at least the last 15 to 20 years, and it's growing. Churches are going completely into apostasy. This is called Hope United Methodist Church in Bloomington, Illinois. and it's promoting a different religion than Christianity. But that's apostasy. This is what apostasy looks like. A London pastor was arrested for a sermon on marriage. All he did was teach what the Bible says marriage is. And because he said that marriage could not be between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a cow, or whatever. Listen, speech is only free if it agrees with the elitist sodomites and the New World Order. And if you think I'm being too broad with my strokes when I say the elitist sodomites, you've never studied the elites. Go look at the Bohemian Grove.
Yep. Amen.
Find out what Richard Nixon, who was no saint, what he said about that place.
Amen.
Now, how many saw the video where this cop made fun of LeBron James? If you didn't see it, then you'll have to go look at it. But he was just talking to him. You'd have to see it to understand it. But he's been suspended without pay for a video that just showed common sense. That LeBron was complaining that this black girl was shot and killed here in Columbus, not caring that she was 1 second away from murdering another black woman in those pink sweatpants. If the cop had not stopped the black woman with the knife and killed the black woman in the pink outfit, you'd still be hearing racism. It was a no-win situation with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the Democrat woke libtards. You can't win with them. They're not interested in facts or truth. They're just interested in burning this place down. They want a new government under Marxist principles.
Yep.
And they'll use any and for any situation to get there. Again, I'll say it again. Some of you said, you can say that again, preacher. Well, I'll say it again. Speech is only free if it agrees with the elitist sodomites and the New World Order. This is the story. This year's National Day of Prayer event at the U.S. Capitol. Oh, I didn't read the headline. Pastor, I don't know if you knew this. For the first time in 70 years, your government has denied a permit to hold a National Day of Prayer.
Wow.
First time in 70 years. This year's National Day of Prayer, and I'm going to say it, I don't care who doesn't like it, I believe in telling the truth. Your Democrat Party and their president are Satanists. They are anti-Christ. They want to murder babies. They want to push sodomy down the throats of our children in our schools and in every place they can. They stand for everything wicked and evil, and it's time Christians started just stating the facts. Now, there are progressives in the Republican Party that are just as bad, like Mitt Romney. But the party platform, at least in the Republican Party, isn't Satanist. Go read the Democrat Party platform. It's Satanist. It's just sick. And you, if you won't speak out now, you are as bad as a German who wouldn't speak out against Hitler. God's people are to be bold. God's people are to speak truth, even if they come to take your head off.
Amen.
And we need more of God's people to speak up. I got a little church and an internet ministry, and thank God for it. But we need 100,000 Bible-thumping preachers to be preaching this in America today. But most Christians will continue to go to churches where you got some mealy-mouthed punk standing in the pulpit tickling ears. And while I got breath, I'm going to use it. And I hope and pray you do too. This just makes me sick, and the silence is deadly.
Amen.
This year's National Day of Prayer event at the U.S. Capitol appears to have been canceled after one evangelical leader was denied a permit to hold the prayer gathering at the building. It is deeply troubling. For the first time in 70 years, there will not be a public prayer service at the United States Capitol building on the National Day of Prayer. That's the official statement by the National Day of Prayer. Every American needs to be asking the question, How is it possible to have public prayer prohibited at the Capitol on the National Day of Prayer, especially when it is a national observance designated by Congress?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, because a satanic political party has taken over this country. All right, Luke 11:29 is where we're going to pick up. Luke 11:29. Kind of a big change in the narrative here. We left off with Jesus stating, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And then verse 29, "And when the people were gathered thick together," so a little change of situation. We're going to read verses 29 through 32, and I'll have you join in the even numbered with me. So I'll start reading verse 29. "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Amen. God's people say amen. I'm going to try not to cough on you all morning. But you'll probably still get spit on. Jesu begins with the typical Joel Osteen sermon intro. "And when the people were gathered to get thick together, he began to say..." It's a little sarcasm there for you. This would not be a Joel Osteen sermon. He began to say, not in today's most popular churches, you would not begin to say, "This is an evil generation." Today, if you want to be... First of all, I just know this, and I'm not bragging. There are a good number of good preachers around the world who would never be hired by most of these churches. They would, if nothing else, they would go back and listen to the sermons of the past that I've preached, and they'd say, "This is not our guy." But a lot of guys come out of seminary and think that that's what the ministry is. The ministry is doing whatever you can to get as many people in the pews and as much money in the box as possible. But when any preacher will not say what God says, he is not a real preacher. Now, that seems so obvious, but to this generation, it's not obvious. This generation will go week after week and sit under preachers who will not say the things God says.
That's right.
And if you're sitting under a preacher who will not say what God says, you're not under a real preacher.
Amen.
I mean, the only task that I have as a pastor and preacher is to say what God says. And if that makes you run off or hurts your feelings or whatever, that's between you and the author.
Say bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bye, you know. But that's not the motive. The motive of most ministers is it's a sin called pragmatism. Pragmatism is do what works. So that's when you bring in focus groups and you do surveys. A lot of these churches, one of the first things they'll do is a rent a gymnasium or a cafeteria somewhere, and they'll go through the neighborhood doing a survey. What are they doing? Finding out what everybody wants. And then they decide what they can give them, and then they advertise. "Hey, we did a survey of this town, and you said you wanted this in a church. Well, we're going to give it to you." And if the survey said they wanted the preacher to dress up in a clown wig with a red nose, he'd do it. Whatever it takes, whatever the survey says. That's not how God works. That's why I joke when I'm up here and I say, "Survey says." I'm not being serious. We don't care what the surveys say.
Amen.
Here's another example in addition to Joel Osteen. The following are highlights from a two-hour interview with Michael Horton. He's a host of a radio program called The White Horse Inn. I don't agree with their full theological position, but on the fundamental doctrines of the faith, they do hold true. And this is what he looked like a few years ago. I don't know if that's a real recent picture, but Michael Horton is his name. And he asks his question to Dr. Robert Schuller, the late pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. Now, folks, if you want to know how the church has got where we are today, go back and look at the fakes that were on TV in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
Yep. Amen.
Here's Horton. Dr. Schuller, how could the cross, as you write, and this is from one of his books, quote, sanctify the ego trip? See, the Bible says to die to self. Robert Schuller preached that you should be full of yourself. And there are people in America, Christians around the world, had so little spiritual discernment. They would watch him week in and week out. His message was anti-Christ. Michael Horton continues, and make us proud. He wrote that the cross would sanctify the ego trip and make us proud. How could you write that in the light of passages that say, quote, I hate pride and arrogance, Proverbs 8:13. Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs 16:18. The Lord detests all the proud, Proverbs 16:5. Do not be proud, Romans 12:16. And he's quoting a new version where it says, charity does not boast. Charity is not proud, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Horton continues. He says, in fact, Paul warns that, he warns Timothy, but he warns us all, that in the last days men, quote, will be lovers of their own selves. That's 2 Timothy 3:2. Why should we as Christian ministers, myself included, why should we do anything to encourage people to become lovers of themselves? If Paul, in fact, warned others that that would be the state of godlessness in the last days. Did you get that?
Amen.
And he's assessed the situation correctly.
Amen.
In the last days, men are full of themselves, and God says that's a sign we're in the end. Well, here's Robert Schuller's response. I hope you don't preach this. I hope you don't preach this.
Wow. That's a full answer.
Horton says, what? The texts? No, what you just spoke into the microphone right now, which was Bible. I hope you don't, because you could do a lot of damage to a lot of beautiful people. But maybe if you preach it, maybe you will demonstrate your knowledge of human relationships, and maybe you'll demonstrate a sensitivity of caring about these pathetic, pathetic people that are so lost in pain and suffering because of their sinful condition, and I think you'd want to save them. Just to give you, see, what you have to use is discernment. When Robert Schuller says they're suffering because of their sinful condition, he defines sinful condition as lack of self-love and self-esteem.
Wow.
That's not your sinful condition. Your sinful condition is that you have violated God's law. You have transgressed against a holy God.
Amen.
That's your sinful condition.
Amen.
I think you'd want to bring them to Jesus. He's not talking about the Bible Jesus. He's talking about the Jesus that Robert Schuller created in his own imagination. And so if you preach that text, oh man, I sure hope you give it the kind of interpretation that I do. Or I'll tell you, you'll drive them farther away, and they'll be madder than hell at you, and they'll turn the Bible off, and they'll switch you off, and they'll turn on the rock music and Madonna. This was back in the 90s. Listen, when the Holy Spirit approached me through the preaching of the Word and reading of the Word, he said to me, you are a sinner, and you deserve to be in hell right now.
Amen.
He didn't say, oh, Greg, you just need to love yourself. He didn't say that. How do I know that? Because this book is the authority on all matters of which God speaks. But that was the false gospel of Robert Schuller. Schuller continues, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should preach it. I'm saying this as a matter of fact. There's no indication that Robert Schuller was a saved man. At no point do you ever read or hear that man in the robe standing in the pulpit of the Crystal Cathedral 50 years preaching lies. And at no point did he ever say he recognized himself as a sinner and recognized that Jesus died on the cross to pay for his sins and that he had believed on that death, burial, and resurrection for eternal life. I've never found him ever saying such a thing. But the majority of evangelical Christians in America thought he was legit. That tells you how little spiritual discernment Christians in this country have demonstrated for decades.